Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, and Davey Hudson. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
My vision for 3 and Out is we want to be a big, fast, dominating, aggressive, relentless
radio show
that
everybody
in the SEC wants to
listen to.
That's my goal. These guys realize that we want to change the culture. They're hungry. These guys are ready to get started, and I'm excited about it. All right. Your expectations, all right, aren't near what mine are.
All right. 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 All right.
Our program has the history, the facilities, the tradition, and the resources to play with anyone, anytime, and that's what we're going to do again.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to. Place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, even though no one will be.
Welcome into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, a Tuesday edition of 3 and Out, alongside Billy Williford, Houston Kress. I'm Nate Hodges. Appreciate you starting your day with us right here on Fan Run Radio.
Where everything is fine.
Everything is fine.
Everything's fine. You've got to keep your composure. Can't be freaking out. Oh! Just relax.
Can we just start? We'll just start with the NBA. That way we don't have to worry about it.
Denial is more than a river in Egypt, my friend.
The Warriors won. Took overtime. Got some really nice close basketball games in the NBA.
I think the NBA told the officials, hey, that first one was a snoozer and nobody watched it. Why don't we keep them a little closer from now on? Maybe even let Portland win one. And Steph Curry said, no, I'd like the break before the next series, please.
No gentleman's sweep here. They don't start the finals early, though, right? Like, this just gives Durant.
They
the
have
finals are set dates.
10 days.
Yeah.
So next Thursday.
Whew. 119,
that's
117.
That's a break.
Warriors over the Trailblazers. Portland done. 4-0 sweep. Get out your broomsticks. The Warriors are through.
Draymond and Steph with triple-doubles last night. First time in NBA history, two players on the same team have a triple-double.
Good grief. They'll await the winner of Milwaukee and Toronto, as that series is Milwaukee 2-1.
The champion of Milwaukee-Toronto?
Yeah, they get playing an extra exhibition game against the Warriors. It's kind of like when the Globetrotters
play. Well, it's an exhibition series.
Yeah, serious.
Fairness.
Extra 4 games.
At least 4.
Maybe 5.
Maybe a gentleman's exhibition series.
Yeah, gentleman's exhibition sweep.
Right.
This was not a gentleman's sweep. Curry must have had something against Portland. He said, nope, not going to let you get your one home game win.
I mean,
he's going to end this right here.
He couldn't give the gentleman treatment to his brother?
That's why he couldn't do it.
I mean, of all the teams to sweep,
you got to be harder on the people you love, Houston.
I get, yeah. You're not wrong.
He's trying to make him better for the future. Maybe he's trying to convince him to go to the Eastern Conference where he has a shot to just meet in the final.
Get your ass out of this conference. You got to go through me, bro. And I ain't going nowhere. I mean, I feel like this is news, but it's also not. You should have just penciled in the Warriors the whole time anyway. People thought the Rockets could give them a... Get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
No.
No
Warriors,
Boogie Cousins.
They're just too good.
No, Kevin Durant doesn't
matter. They should just cancel
the final. No, Andre Iguodala either.
Wait,
that's
he
right.
Was out?
Yeah, he hurt his calf. They got a lot of half-calf over there. Iguodala, calf. Durant, calf. Cousins was a quad, which is like the calf of the upper leg.
All right.
Think about it.
Enough NBA.
Okay.
Are you ready? I have a message board thread title that I just pulled up.
I do love
these.
That
leads just perfectly into everything is fine. Are you ready? Prepare yourself.
I think so.
Is it time to admit Butch was a better recruiter than Pruitt?
Okay. Okay. Wait just a damn minute. There are a lot of things I can take, right? Sensationalism is fine. Being a little obtuse is fine. Overstating, it's kind of what we do. We live in the area of overinflating interesting thoughts, topics, and ideas. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard anyone say in my entire life. Tell that person, or I'll do it. Shut up. That person needs to shut up. Okay.
Back to the news.
Yeah.
So Justin Rogers.
Is there really news?
Yeah.
Okay.
You got the news and notes music?
Really? Yeah, you got that news and notes tune?
It's not working this morning.
Justin Rogers,
we gotta work on that.
Out of Oak Park, Michigan, is a 4-star offensive guard.
I think I saw him as a 5-star on one site. Mm. He was downgraded or he's not on both. But anyway, continue.
I mean, he's the best guard in the country.
Correct.
He's 30th overall out of all the players, so he's a high end top 30 player.
I thought top 30
had to be 5, right?
Yeah, I thought they did 1 5-star for every NFL team, which makes no sense.
That's their composite. He's 30th in the composite. He's 44.
Okay, that's what.
And they're
so
rankings.
He's a 5-star on the composite then?
No. It says 4-star.
They must do that differently. But anyway, this was a guy Tennessee, seemed to
led for.
Trending for. And then yesterday, he committed to Kentucky.
Oh, I'm sorry. 4-star guard. Basketball, right?
No. He's 6'2½", 311 pounds. 6'2½".
Wait.
311
pounds. But he went to Kentucky?
Yeah. Out of
Michigan.
And it's
not, this is not a basketball recruit.
Right. He picked Kentucky over Tennessee, Ohio State, and Georgia.
You know, you see the headline, Kentucky beats out Tennessee for 4-star guard. It's not that surprising.
Yeah.
Until,
is he a point or a shooting?
Until the next line is, Mark Stoops is doing a great job in Lexington. 4-star offensive lineman picks Kentucky over Tennessee. In football, he's a football player.
Yeah.
Did he know we play paintball down here? We led for this guy like a month ago. What happened?
Yeah, Grant Ramey's crystal ball, April 13th, 2019, Tennessee.
Yeah, I remember.
There were some ones from like, one from 2017, one from 2018 that had him at Ohio State.
Can you give me his offer list real quick if you got it? You got the offer list pulled up?
He had an offer from Kentucky,
Georgia,
Tennessee, Alabama, Arizona,
Auburn,
Boston College, Bowling Green, Central Michigan.
What's in alphabetical now? That's why. So the ones,
The
ones
Florida,
he visited,
Florida State,
are at the top.
Oh, God.
So they're in order of interest level, like Kentucky, and then Georgia, Tennessee, and Alabama. Kentucky, Georgia, Tennessee, he visited all three of those schools. And then it's alphabetical, I guess, starting with Alabama.
Texas A&M.
All offers.
Clemson.
Oklahoma.
Florida.
Penn State.
Everybody.
Oregon.
Everybody.
All of these people offered him.
LSU.
Michigan.
Tennessee was the leader. He commits Nebraska, to Kentucky.
Ohio State. Oklahoma. You already said that, didn't you?
Michigan State. USC.
Who's the offensive line coach at Kentucky?
West Virginia.
That's a state. That can't be right.
Western Michigan.
Okay, the bad ones don't. I don't care. You get my point.
His lead recruiter was the defensive backs coach.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. That's about right.
Steve.
What in God's name's going on here?
Steve Klinkscale. Doing work apparently.
The offensive line coach is John Schlarman.
Well, we had Chris Winkie on the job.
He was an offensive guard at Kentucky, so he can tell Justin exactly what it's like to be an offensive guard at Kentucky.
We had Chris Winkie on the case with Will Friend as the secondary.
Friend.
I
just got so tense that I got a ringing in my ears.
I don't know if...
You said Will Friend secondary, and I just went... Even watching the Periscope, saw it.
How? I don't know. The guy's from Michigan. I don't know if, like, did...
It's a little closer.
Winkie have some connection, and it was actually really good that we even got in on him. And
we've recruited Michigan halfway decently over the years. John Kelly was from Michigan.
If he goes to Ohio State, it feels a whole lot different.
Yeah.
But Kentucky? There was that whole profile on Mark Stoops and how he's...
John Akre tweets in and says he's going to play defensive tackle at Kentucky.
Oh,
is
God,
that
that's worse.
So they took wait. What? So the top guard in the country is choosing Kentucky because they don't want him to play guard? He wants to play defense?
He can play defense for us.
That's what
screw it. Call him back. Tell him to play defense for us.
Dude, you wanted to play defensive tackle? Why didn't you say so? I'm coming up to the high school.
Yeah, Rivals actually has him listed as a defensive tackle.
No.
This guy could be a two-way star.
Iron Man football.
So, all this talk about how great of a guard he was, and he wanted to play defensive tackle the whole time. Who does these evaluations? Who? Recruiting sites. How? If a kid wants to play defensive tackle, how do you have him listed at guard, if that's not what he's going to play and not what he wants to play? This is just like that damn Randall Cobb situation where Fulmer's like, I just think you're a receiver. I don't think you're a quarterback. Honestly, that's just straight up. And what does Kentucky do? Hell yeah, you're a quarterback.
Come give it a shot.
For a week, and then he's that receiver. They manipulate us.
Yeah, on this article on 247 Sports, the first sentence is Kentucky completed a three-way three-year recruitment of elite two-way linemen.
It's going to change the game forever. Win a Heisman.
Yeah.
Playing offensive guard and defensive tackle at the same time.
Orlando Pace, your days are numbered. That's okay, though. It's fine because I said yesterday, what did I say? I said, hey, offensive line is doing just fine. We need guards, but maybe not this guard because he's a defensive tackle. You get it. What we need is elite talent at the skill positions. That's what we needed. Elite talent. And luckily, there was a receiver committing yesterday who had Tennessee in the top two. Surely to God, we got some good news on that one. Right? That Jones Bell kid.
Where's he from?
Well, I don't know. Good question. Maybe Google it. I don't know. I don't know where he's from.
So he committed
Florida.
To Tennessee?
He's from Carroll City, Florida.
He committed to Tennessee?
I don't know. Let me go to his profile and see. No, he didn't. Well, he committed to Alabama.
Alabama? How do you say his first?
Thou. I'm going with thou. Thaiu.
Thou.
Tau.
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 Tau. Tau. Tau Jones Bell.
Jones Bell.
The first name and the last two, very different. Jones Bell, but the first name is Thau.
Thaiu.
And, man. One of the last pictures he posted is him with Harrison Bailey on a visit. The checkerboard behind him. And then Alabama committed. Ugh.
We had T. Martin and Big Brian on the...
Oh, no.
Wait.
Moose?
T. Martin and Brian Niedermeyer lost a recruiting battle to a staff that just turned over. I don't even know who's coaching down in Alabama anymore. They got guys just not showing up to staff meetings.
To Charles Huff and Holman Wiggins.
Yes, Wiggins. Chief Wiggins.
Jones Bell is a four-star wide receiver, 5'11", 187. Miami Carroll City High School.
Little guy.
Hallandale, Florida.
Hallandale.
2020 wide receiver. He was 85th overall, according to 24/7 Sports.
That's two top 100 players. We just finished second for.
16th best wide receiver. In the composite, was a little lower, 105th in the country, 22nd best wide receiver.
What are we not doing? What are we getting beat by? We just turned over the staff, and I think improved basically everywhere.
Let me answer that question.
Kentucky, of all the schools you can't lose a battle to, is the one team you thumped last year in conference. Their best season ever. You beat them by 17, and now they're getting top 30 players over Tennessee. JT Dirty Birdie tweets in and says he committed to Kentucky 3 days after visiting Georgia. He's talking about Justin Rogers now.
Yeah.
Huh? What? Explain. America, explain. I am Confucian. This doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's May. It's a little too early to start panicking, but it's almost June, and that's when it's okay to panic. I just don't understand this. Everyone keeps sending me money gifs. Yeah, I mean, it could be just bags of cash.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to answer that question with maybe the fact, like, yesterday.
What's more embarrassing, that we're getting out-recruited by Kentucky or that we're getting out-bid by Kentucky? Take your pick. I think they're both about equal.
I was going to answer your question with the fact that yesterday another player committed. It was a basketball player. His name is Trendon Watford. He's a five-star, top 20 player in the entire country. For 2019, he committed to Will Wade's LSU Tigers.
That's a strong offer.
Strong-ass offer. He's from Birmingham, Alabama, 17th best player in the country. And he's like, you know, I like that. I'll go to LSU and play basketball.
Will Wade's like, I'm going to lay low for a month. Okay, I'm giving you a month. You're going to fire Joe Oliva. And then I'm back on that bull bleep.
We're back, baby!
Let me close the door. He's like, man, this cheating thing has been so easy since I got back. All these people were in line to cheat for me after I got caught. This is fantastic.
Yeah, boosters came out of the woodwork. Buddy, I'm racking up. I didn't know you didn't know the game. I'm so sorry, Coach
Wade. Why didn't you just say so? We just thought you were a good recruiter. We thought you had it on lockdown. Yeah. You're making these phone calls yourself, you stupid idiot.
I got a guy for that.
I got three guys for that. But shouts out to Will Wade. Back on the horse. Like Nick Cage in Lord of War. Just, yeah, I'm laying low for a bit.
Yeah.
And then
I have something. You said you hadn't seen that.
I finally watched it.
Oh, you just did.
I have something that needs your attention. And I need the Lord of War to do it. It's Warlord. I like my way better. I prefer it my way. That's what he says. Well.
Justin Rogers to Kentucky.
Tau Jones Bell to Alabama, and what's his name to LSU? Was he a guard? Was he a point guard?
I mean,
we could use one of those.
Jordan came down between LSU and Memphis, so I don't know which is
I don't know what's bigger, Jordan Burns' vertical or his leap up this draft board.
He's a power forward, 6'9", 230.
Could have used him, but it's fine. We got old Cam Hua. And Urols. Got it right the first time this time.
Hmm.
Yeah. Man. I need to think about this. I need to try to understand. You know, it's one thing if the class isn't very good in May, and I saw a lot of people say, this is May, who cares? And that's right. It's true. A lot of this can change. But what is weird is that there are guys that you are in on deciding right now, and they're not choosing you.
Yeah.
Like, that's the issue. It's not that your class in May isn't good enough, because obviously it's going to be somewhere much different than this. I swear, I hope so. You only got like 5 commits right now. But by December, it'll look a lot different. The problem is guys you want are committing now, and you're not getting them. And guys you have are releasing top sixes, and you're not in it. Like, that's a problem.
You have 3 like freshmen.
You
have 2 JUCOs and a long snapper, and 3 other freshman players.
I'm worried that Harrison Bailey's like, man, I've tried, and I just know what's coming, and I'm going to go somewhere else. Like, I have worked my butt off to try to get people here, and they just aren't coming.
Another message board titled Jim. Imagine if they had been recruiting instead of playing paintball.
Oh, that was recruiting.
That's the point.
We need a break.
We'll come back with more. Stick with us right here. It's 3 and Out on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. It just hit us. It's supposed to be Optimism Tuesday. Bad planning on our part.
It's May?
We had some optimism Monday yesterday. So, it's like store credit. Like, we built up some store credit yesterday. We're using a gift card right now. Like, we just need to let this ride a little bit. You know, I was thinking about that question. Message board question.
Oh, God.
Is Butch Jones a better recruiter than Jeremy Pruitt?
I agree with you. With everything you're saying. I love you.
On paper.
I mean,
to this point, you can make the argument. And it makes me sick.
I mean, if you somehow can separate just recruiting from everything else, I guess you could make the argument.
Sawyer Trey Smith tweets in, "What's most troublesome to me is that this will be Pruitt's 3rd recruiting cycle. I could understand all of this if it was his 1st, or maybe his 2nd, but it's his 3rd. This shouldn't be happening."
Steven says, "I hope Houston was being sarcastic about Butch not recruiting better than Pruitt. If not, that's hindsight judgment. Pretty sure that based on," he all caps this for us, "rankings alone,"
yeah,
"his 1st 2 classes were definitely better. Coach worshipers were ecstatic at this point in Jones's tenure."
I just said on paper, rankings, there's a point here. I guess I just can't figure this out. I mean, Butch, I guess as far as what he had to sell, had the same things. As far as resume of him and his staff, it's not even close. This current staff is light years better, with more experience, more guys in the NFL, more championships, more victories than the staff, which, like, I am dumbfounded at how we're sitting here having this conversation. That in year 3, you're losing recruiting battles to Kentucky for top 30 players in football. And as I said, like, that's the one team in the league that you thumped. You only won 2 conference games last year. It's like you set the world on fire anyway. But you thumped Kentucky. They scored 7 points, and it was a late, like, joke of a touchdown. You basically shut them out, and now they got a guy who maybe wants to play defense instead of offense going, like, what? a wide receiver committing to Alabama over Tennessee, I get that. Whatever. I'm not that upset about that one. But linemen? That's not supposed to happen.
And I think you made a really valid point earlier with Harrison Bailey. Like, when does he start looking around and, man, I don't have anyone.
I think he's solid. I was kind of making fun of the situation. I hope I was joking. Like, ultimately, we don't know if I was joking. I hope I was joking. The intent was a joke, but I do wonder if at some point, because all these kids are talking. I mean, hell, I just said the Jones-Bell kid tweets out a picture 2 days before he commits, and it's Harrison Bailey and him at Tennessee on a visit. It's just strange. And again, it's not – I'm not looking at Tennessee's class and saying, oh, my gosh, this is not good enough, because it's May and it can get better. What I am saying is that as kids commit that have you in their top 2, 3, 4, 5, you're not getting any of them right now. And that is puzzling at best, troubling at worst.
T-Carp said, winning. Problem is Tennessee hasn't won and hasn't shown that they can develop talent.
Is that it? Is this just such a bottom-line business that kids see 9-10 wins for Kentucky and say, better program, and don't look at the scoreboard of 24-7 against the two teams? I would think that would be an even bigger selling point for Pruitt to say, yeah, that team won 10 games last year. We were not good, and look at how we out-schemed them. Look at how we out-coached them. And as we get better talent, it's only going to get worse for them.
Well, Kentucky's counter-argument to that is that was – you know, that was a blip on the radar. Yeah. That was
an aberration. That was uncharacteristic of us last year.
There was a whole profile on Mark Stoops and how he's building Kentucky's recruiting base out of the state of Ohio. And this kid's in Michigan. I mean, that's his pipeline. That's where, you know, his assistants that's where they're taking talent. Kentucky has it seems to be working, but they've made the decision, instead of recruiting against the Georgias and the Floridas and the Alabamas of the world, let's recruit against every Big Ten team except Ohio State. Like, Ohio State will get theirs. Well, in this case, they beat Ohio State for this kid.
Yeah.
But their original plan was, Ohio State, that's fine. Get your 25. Do the best you can. We're going to try and beat the other Big Ten teams by selling the SEC in Ohio and Michigan and, you know, other Midwestern states like that. Like, it seems to be working. And now they've actually beaten out Ohio State for completely non-debatable blue-chip talent.
But Kentucky isn't even winning. In the past 10 years, Tennessee has still won more games than they have.
Right.
The last time they won 10 games was 1977.
The important thing to remember, though, is, like, these, like, high school kids, they don't know 10 years. They really only know what these coaches kind of tell them in their own perception. And we saw the study that said, like, the way the brand feels in these guys' heads is what matters most. Like, that's probably why Butch Jones did have some success recruiting, because recruiting is a lot of how it feels, what the perception is, how do you think it'll feel to play in orange and white? How do you think it'll feel to run through the tee? It's recruiting's odd. It's weird, and every kid's different, has different priorities. Let's go to the phone lines and grab Jay, 865-546-8200 if you want to weigh in on this topic or really any throughout the program. What's up, Jay?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, you know, I think a lot of this has to do with what y'all just kind of talked about is, we aren't winning, and we haven't been for a long time. I mean, if you want to call a couple non-win seasons good, but, I mean,
some of the best years in 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't won an SEC championship, in 20 years. My dad has been watching football. He went to UT. He was there with Bernard King. Like, my dad said, he said to me many times, I never thought I'd see the day that Tennessee would go 2 decades without an SEC title in football. He said, I literally didn't think that was possible. And I think that's how low this program has sunk. I mean, to me, there's no bigger fall from grace in college athletics, maybe, period, than Tennessee football, considering where they were and where we have been. You know, and I think that matters. And I think you look at Clemson as a perfect example of what winning can do, because before Dabo got there, they were like a 545 winning percentage as a program. I mean, they were basically a 500 program as a whole throughout their history. But then Dabo starts recruiting a little better because he's probably a good recruiter. And then they start putting some 10-win seasons together. And then that perception is that, well, Clemson's a program that wins 10 wins. Get you 10 wins every single game, and they start putting some guys in the draft. Now, even though they're doing this against subpar competition, it's kind of like Kentucky. They won 10 games last year, even though their schedule wasn't all that great. But, hey, they're a 10-win program. And then Dabo starts getting elite recruits, because then now the elite recruits are thinking, well, they win 10 games plus a year. I need to start coming here, and then you see what he's doing now. So with us, I mean, guys, we're going 5-7. I mean, what is it? Last 6 or 7 years, 3 years, we haven't had a single player drafted. I think this is really starting to hurt us. And I think other schools are obviously using this against us, but we've got to start winning again. We've got to get out of this 6-6. I know that's obvious to say, but we've got to get out of this 5-7, 6-6 kind of rut that we've been in and start actually getting players drafted. I mean, we're getting made fun of on the NFL Network. You know, they're making fun of Charles Davis. I mean, people are, if recruits and stuff are watching the draft, all they see is Tennessee getting clowned.
It's true. I mean
that hurts us, in my opinion. That really hurts us.
These are honest and painful truths, Jay.
It's painful. It is. It's painful. I hate it.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Jay. I mean,
it's
one thing to lose to, you know, like a Georgia team that's top five, or an Alabama team that's been the most, or, you know, had been the most dominant team in college football until a new challenger came along. Like, it's those late season losses and the fact that they weren't close. It's the Missouri, it's the Vanderbilt. I mean, hell, can you imagine if that Kentucky day had been a different day, those teams had played differently? I mean, at least we did have that one. At least Tennessee was able to go to Auburn, and the painful truth is, it felt like the team, when you really measured it last year, was closer to those teams that lost to Missouri and Vanderbilt than it was to the teams that beat Auburn and beat Kentucky. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm a glass half empty guy. Maybe you can say that was even.
Well, I mean, the SEC games you lost outside of South Carolina, you got thumped. And you beat Kentucky by 17, and I'm saying you thumped them. But that, compared to what you took in the SEC, you didn't thump Kentucky. Like
and a lot of things kind of went your. I mean,
the Hail Mary.
Auburn didn't play their best game. I mean,
I
feel like you got a little lucky there, but that's okay. I mean, other teams get lucky all during the season.
I actually thought they were less lucky against Auburn than they were against Kentucky. I mean, a Hail Mary and. I do think the defensive scheme for both was really, really good, but offensively, like, it was good throws and catches, but you don't come down with that percentage of them in most games. But then, you know, the Hail Mary, the reverse to Murphy, there was a couple turnovers where you got the ball in really good shape. I mean, Kentucky felt, and again, the Hail Mary was just the backbreaker, right? I mean, you just completely ripped their heart out going into the halftime break. Not like few teams can bounce back from that. That's what Tennessee does. We just catch Hail Marys. James Banks, Juwan Jennings, Marquez Callaway.
Maybe we should just, you know.
And don't forget Jeff George. He just got tackled at the one.
Yeah. You know how you're a little kid, you just run Hail Mary all the time on the video games? Maybe Tennessee should go to that offense.
We're good at it.
Just chuck it deep every time. Just let Juwan go up and get it. We'll come back. Final segment, hour number one. If you want to give us a shout, 865-546-8200 is the number to join the program. It's 3 and Out right here on Fan Run Radio. Final segment, hour number one, 3 and Out right here on Fan Run Radio. I guess it's good Jeremy Pruitt cast a wide net with recruiting. But you're right. Like, you said it. I mean, you don't want to freak out in May that recruiting's not going that well. But at the same time, when there are players that you feel like you've led for, that you know you've used effort, time, and energy on in the process, and they choose, and at one point, you know, if their commitment had ended, you would have led, you would have gotten their commitment, and you miss on those players, that's still not a good thing. Like, it still matters.
We're not talking final results. We're not saying this class is a bust. We're just talking in the moment. The snapshot of right now is you're leading for players and not getting them.
Spending time, energy, offers, you know,
lots
resources.
Of lots of offers.
You know, your official visits or whatever on some of these guys, and then they don't, yeah, they don't end up picking you. That's kind of annoying. And at some point you have to move, you know, down your board. They did have the, you know, they've had the in-state stuff in Murfreesboro this past weekend, so there seemed to be some, you know, good momentum out of there. There's
talking about the Nike camp.
Yeah, the regional opening thing. I don't know.
Informative.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I do what I can. So, I mean, there's still a lot of players that you're in on and that you think you can lock down, but there's other players you thought you had a great shot on, and they're picking other schools. That's frustrating. We need to talk about Ebony Jackson, though. Because
before that, let me make one quick point. Travis Cabbage tweeted this in and said, Pruitt isn't the snake oil salesman that Butch was. Butch sold a lot of empty promises, and it showed when kids transferred. Pruitt won't do that. When he was at Bama, Georgia, and Florida State, he could sell recruits. If he hopes to do that here, he needs to win now. So my question, like, is this like the slow, honest build? We're going to get the right guys in here and do it the right way, and it might take a little longer, but this is the right way to do it. But isn't recruiting, like, it is sales, right? I mean, it is still a bottom line business. I don't know that I'm ready to just say, oh yeah, Pruitt's not making any I don't know that I buy that. So I mean, I think he's trying to sell the guys. So what is it that's not working?
I don't know. You got Jim Chaney.
I mean, I agree with everyone that says if you win a bunch of games, the recruiting gets easier. Yes, this is true. But we're kind of in the chicken and the egg scenario here of how do you win if you can't get the players? Is this a, well, you're going to have to improve what you got and improve you can coach a little bit? And then what's the win number that impresses recruits? Is it 7-5 this year? Is it 8-4? Do we have to go 10-2 to get recruits impressed? Because I'm telling you, if you got to go 10-2 to impress recruits, you're not going to impress recruits because you're not going 10-2. And if you do, well, then everything's just out the door and you got a great coach and you better lock him up because he's amazing. But if you see 10-2 this year, I don't know how you can see that right now. So without saying, well, we just got to win 10 games and, you know, if Pruitt can't win 10 games, he's at, like, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. There's got to be some type of juice, some type of magic sauce on the recruiting trail right now to get some guys in so that you can win 9-10 games next year, even with Oklahoma on the schedule. I don't know who did that. I totally understand the easy, you know, Control-Alt-Delete of, well, win 10 games and the recruiting problems go away. I don't think you can do that right now without the recruits.
Yeah.
So how then? Paintball? Is that our secret sauce? I'm kidding about the paintball. Like, I think that's fine.
Yeah, the kids love the paintball.
Andy Naylor tweets in and says, Kirby Smart did it in 2 years. No excuses. Win now. Well, Georgia fired a coach off a 10-win season when they hired Smart. Then he goes 8-4, 8-5. Then he's right back up there at the top. That's, I mean, again, none of the leadership that made the decision is here, but this is why you fire Butch Jones after 2016 and bring somebody in who can cultivate that roster and not go 4-8 in 2017. Maybe you take the step back in 2017. Last year's a little better, and now we're primed for the big move. That's the difference. Georgia made the move early. They preempted the downfall which, as you saw at Miami, there was a downfall with Mark Richt.
Yeah,
like
he was done.
He was fading out. He did not have the gas left in the tank anymore. Probably would have retired if Miami hadn't just said, hey, come home, we'll pay you a bunch of money and recruit here. And then a year later, he can't even get his nephew to come play for him. Georgia made the move early. We've seen Florida routinely make moves 1 year earlier than Tennessee ever would in similar situations. This was the problem. You gave Dooley 1 year too many. You gave Butch 1 year too many. You waited too long, and your roster deteriorated. The brand, which is not dead, but it is on life support in the world of college football. You've waited too long. You've deteriorated your roster, your program, your brand, and now every time a new coach comes in, it's, well, why aren't you doing better? It gets progressively harder with each time you don't make the move when you're supposed to make the move. It just does. I don't know what the answer is here. I mean, I look at this staff. I don't see a recruiting problem when I look at the staff. I don't see a coaching problem when I look at the staff. I do think the problem is we want it to be fixed right now, and I don't think it's a right now fix it thing.
Is the problem that these kids who are, I mean, when were these guys born? I mean, it you know, after 1998, right? Is it a problem where a kid like Justin Rogers looks at Kentucky football and looks at Tennessee football and can't tell the difference? Isn't that the problem?
Well, I'm afraid he can tell the difference.
That's even worse than what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think the difference is 10 wins versus 5, and I think it's a pretty obvious answer. But I guess, I mean, we're not doing ourselves any favors with these schedules. Right? This year...
That's what Jay was saying.
This year, we get a little bit of a step back, but you know who has the weakest schedule in the SEC this coming season? You know
Alabama.
Who's, yeah. They're not taking any chances, man. Like, they're not. They want it to be as easy as possible. They want to clear their path to the SEC championship game and to the playoff. And you know what? That's not a bad idea. The SEC is tough enough already. If you win the West and if you win the East and then the SEC championship game, like, you're in. There is no need to bring Oklahoma onto the schedule. Did it anyway. I'm all for an occasional big game out of conference. I totally get it. But, like, we just did this. And now they've got Lincoln Riley. And they're winning Heismans. And they're putting up infinity yards and points. Like, we just don't need that kind of trouble. We don't need that headache. We don't need that. I mean, right now, is there any reason you would look at next year's schedule and think, yeah, we're going to Oklahoma and winning that game?
No.
Like, you bought or paid for or received money for a loss. Was it worth it? Probably not. You know who that should be? Charleston Southern. Georgia State. Shouldn't be Oklahoma. We don't need that. Everyone's saying, well, just win 10 games. How? You got Bama every year. You got Georgia every year. And now you're going to go get teams like Oklahoma and throw them in the mix? Not to mention Florida's halfway damn decent now with Dan Mullen. They're always halfway damn decent. And even when they aren't, they still kick your ass.
And then you always draw a team from the West that seems
not,
to be good.
Yeah, not to mention, well, A, most of them are good now. But Tennessee historically does draw the best West team not named Alabama in a given year.
Well, you won that game last year and still had a crappy season.
Won what game?
Auburn.
Your West.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you'd been the year before. Mm-hmm. This year, next year. I got you.
Yeah. I just pulled up Kentucky's schedule for 2019. They're going to open with Toledo, Eastern Michigan, then their Florida game. Their two West opponents, Mississippi State and Arkansas.
Yeah. Arkansas.
Yeah.
The worst team in the West.
And they close with Louisville as their, you know.
Who is... like, terrible now.
Right.
Who'd they hire?
I don't even remember.
Was it the guy from Appalachian State?
Scott Satterfield.
Okay. He's a good coach. Maybe they'll get better.
Kentucky has the second worst strength of schedule behind only Alabama.
Look, I'm not saying I just want to play dogs, right? Like, I'm not saying that. I'm saying I don't. There's a difference between scheduling a good out-of-conference game and scheduling a top-five team every single And we just did the Oklahoma thing, and it didn't work out too great for us.
Well, this is you're right. We did. Why did we do two rotations?
I don't know. And then we got Nebraska coming soon. We're going to make sure that Scott Frost has time to build up Nebraska. Then we're going to pick them up for a home and home. Genius. Genius. Really smart. Just really, really good.
Yeah, and we played Oregon when they were
Oregon.
Top five.
Aren't there teams with a good enough name value that won't just absolutely throttle you? Like, how those Oregon games go? Pretty good, right? No. We got killed.
No.
I mean, hell, 2008, 2009, we got UCLA. Like, I thought that was a pretty good scheduling job. UCLA, not great, but we lost both. Like, schedule teams you can beat, and then when you start beating those teams, then you can work your way up the ladder. I don't know why we're swinging for Oklahoma.
Yeah, play like North Carolina.
Hell.
Wake Forest.
People are saying that, what's the open year, 2023, we don't have?
Yeah,
people,
Dooley's NC State game. That was great.
That was perfect.
There you
NC
go.
State, name brand.
Even Georgia Tech with Butch Jones, first season ever, still beat them.
You won. Oklahoma? And people want to battle at Bristol Part 2 with Clemson? I'm out. No.
With Clemson, no.
I'm out.
We can battle at Bristol with...
like Virginia Tech, like that was fine.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
We'll come back. We'll kick off hour number two next. We'll look at
schedule the Cowboys. Hell.
And the weird, curious case of Ebony Jackson. That's next right here.
Oh, great. Recruiting.
On Fan Run Radio.